there. Welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, we explore ideas and practical strategies. I tell stories about things that worked, but also things that were big, epic fails. I interview experts, and all because I am on this journey as well of trying to empower my students with voice and choice. And I truly believe that teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential. And lately, we've been talking about this idea of artificial intelligence, what this means for creativity, what this means for learning, what this means for assessment, what this means for everything. I've been interviewing some of my favorite experts in the field, and all because I'm working on a book called The AI Roadmap, and it'll be out in a few months. I'm still working on revising it and changing it and thinking through things. And today is one of those big idea blog posts. It's the question of AI, and is it largely a good thing or a bad thing? And so I want to explore this idea and really think through this big idea of AI in our world. And the question, will AI cause more harm than good? So here we go. Last week, a friend of mine asked me, do you have any concerns about AI destroying the world and being the worst thing ever, and then having people know that you were an early proponent of it? Well, this question led to an ongoing conversation, which eventually led to a blog post and, well, this podcast episode. And so I want to start out by sharing how I actually feel about AI. I want to be clear straight off the bat. I am not an early proponent of artificial intelligence. I can think of three or four books out that have already been released that focus on how to use AI in the classroom, how to leverage AI and ChatGPT in particular, how to use generative AI to make teachers' classroom jobs easier. Those are all, I would say, early adopters. And those are all books and thinkers who are embracing artificial intelligence. But that's not really me. I'm not so optimistic. I've written before about two dead ends, and I would describe them as the techno-futurist end and dead end and the lock it and block it approach. And I think there's a danger in both sides. Basically, the techno-futurist uses AI, embraces it completely, and asks the question, can this tool transform learning? And then they use a very tech-driven approach. The lock-it-and-block-it approach says we need to have no AI, we need to fight against AI, it's going to be dangerous, it's going to be bad. But that's not me. I think there's a third way, and it's the approach of being human-driven but also AI-informed. The truth is, I am uncertain about AI. There are times when I feel excited about its potential strengths, and then moments where I am terrified of its drawbacks. But more than anything, I am simply trying to understand how it works and how it might change human systems. I first learned about generative AI around 2016, 2017, and it was really hard for me to tell if it was truly generative AI or if it was more just, you know, machine learning and deep learning. But it intrigued me back then. And I've been talking to experts who range from fully embracing it to wanting to fight against it. I'm not an AI expert. I've never built any programs that engage in machine learning. I'm a former middle school teacher, like I said earlier. I'm a current college professor who works with pre-service teacher. My focus tends to be on what it means to do authentic learning that's student-centered in the context of change. So we could think about it as a Venn diagram. Authentic learning, student-centered learning is on one side. Changing world is on the other side. That's what I tend to focus on. That's what I nerd out on. Right now, I'm asking, how do we do authentic learning in an age of smart machines? And that includes listening to all of the perspectives on whether smart machines will make life better or worse. So that leads to this question, will AI be helpful or harmful? When I first started talking to artificial intelligence experts, I had the worst case scenario picture in my head. Robot overlords, technology gone rogue, AI growing too smart and sentient, and deciding to do things like launching nuclear weapons, right? However, as these computer scientists described how AI actually works and the guardrails put in place within the systems, I realized that most of my fears were based on science fiction and not on current reality. Now, does that mean that those things can't happen? No, it's possible. But I think we need to be really careful about what we're actually seeing with AI versus the cultural stories that we share and we talk about. In other words, it's not necessarily going to be Skynet. Many of the AI proponents pointed out how AI could help with research and development and how it would really make our world better. So you can imagine things like efficient grid systems and supply chains that would eventually help solve or at least mitigate climate change. It sounds odd, but if food waste, for example, is down, the whole planet benefits. And AI is one aspect of why we got the COVID vaccine so quickly. Proponents of AI point to a future where we might find cures for cancer or other types of diseases. And AI is promising in its ability to automate boring tasks. In terms of creative work, you might spend more time making videos, but less time in the monotony of something like video editing. AI also has the potential to reduce human error. Autopilot on planes have already reduced crashes despite having more planes in the sky. So again, there's some real benefits to artificial intelligence. But there's also some potential for very real harm. While AI might help with research and development, the speed and efficiency might just reduce the number of actual jobs required to do those particular tasks. If AI can automate boring tasks, what about the negative effects of never experiencing boredom? After all, boredom is vital for creative thinking. But there are also huge concerns around things like privacy. We also have the issue of misinformation and the ways that technology might lead to things like deepfakes, which is something I have talked to experts. Again, if you listen to Jen Lagarde or Alec Koros, those two podcast episodes, they were all about this negative effect of AI leading to misinformation. Plus, there's just the unknown. AI will have unintended consequences. That is guaranteed. In fact, I would argue AI already has, right? So if we think about AI in the general sense, right? Social media, echo chambers, the filter bubbles that we live within, those are all a component of, you know, older types of AI that are a couple decades old, and they've had some real effects on our world. And so we need to recognize there is a downside to it. Recently, prominent computer scientists, ethicists, and philosophers have called for a pause on AI development. And this isn't so much an anti-AI stance as much as it is a stance that says, let's slow down and see what it means to use it wisely. In A Human's Guide to Machine Intelligence, Kartik Hasanagar argues that we need to develop an algorithmic bill of rights. And that's another idea. It's saying we need to stop, we need to pause, we need to think critically, and we need to ask, what are the pros and cons of this particular powerful tool? For what it's worth, where am I in all of this? I am deeply concerned about the role of AI in misinformation. That's why, again, I interviewed two experts who talked about things like deep fakes and what that might mean on a social level with things like democracy, and also on an individual level with things like catfishing. I'm also concerned about job displacement. I don't know if AI will replace more jobs than it creates, but I know that the disruption will be hard on certain communities. At the same time, I've been impressed by the potential of AI to solve really hard problems. I get excited about how it might be used in ethical and wise ways to create a better world. For nearly two decades, I've been intrigued by Dr. Cynthia Brazil's notion of designing social robots. So ultimately, I'm not sure if AI is inherently more harmful or helpful. I actually don't think that we should think about it as trade-offs, as if you can just bargain it back and forth. What we should really be saying is AI is powerful. And with anything that powerful, there will be significant impact on our society. And this will impact our classrooms in significant ways. So what does this mean? I want to share three truths in terms of what this means for our students. So number one, our students are already using AI in the classroom. If we think about it, autofill in Google Docs or Gmail, spell check, grammar, the ability to search through things, all of those are examples of AI. So we need to recognize from the get-go that it's not like AI is coming to the classroom. It's already there. Teachers are already using AI. Students are already using AI. And so we should start with this recognition that it is not new. Now, why does this matter? Because truthfully, what AI is a set of algorithms, which are like instructions that tell computers what to do. These machine learning algorithms can analyze large amounts of data, learn from it, and improve the AI's performance over time. Again, this is what happens with your Google search, with your autofill, any of those things. So AI isn't new. It's been a slow evolution over decades. So I know I've used the term AI revolution, but in many respects, it's been much more of an AI evolution. And we need to recognize that. Now, why does this newest generation of AI feel so different than something like a Google search or a spell checker? Well, it's because the newer generations use something called machine learning. And this is when algorithms learn from itself by refining how it makes predictions and performing tasks. These algorithms use statistical techniques to find patterns in the data and essentially, quote, learn from them. In other words, their performance improves. We see this machine learning in everything from image recognition to natural processing to fraud detection. It's all around. And about a decade ago, researchers began making huge leaps in the development of this deeper learning. Now, deep learning is a type of machine learning with self-adjusting neural networks. And this is what we see. Deep learning uses artificial neural networks to process data. What this means is essentially the newer form of AI is modeled after a human brain. It's modeled after neural networks. So what does this mean? It means that this new form of AI feels more human because it was modeled off of the human brain. It's meant to essentially mirror human cognition. I want to be clear. AI cannot think. There's no affective side of AI. It is not engaged in thinking. AI is not sentient. It's not conscious. It is still a set of algorithms, but it's a set of algorithms generating images, words, phrases, ideas in a way that's very similar to the human mind. If it feels more human, it's because its processing is very similar to our own information processing. And that's why it feels so revolutionary. But at the same time, it's important that we start the conversation with the AI we already use. If we treat AI and generative AI in particular as something that's altogether new and different, we fail to recognize the iterative aspects of innovation. We need to recognize that AI is evolving. It's not something new. It's something that's been around for years, and it will continue to evolve. So that's truth number one. Truth number two, our students need to use AI wisely and ethically. We can't predict how AI will change the world. Right now, we're in a state of panic. Every time we experience new technology, we also experience moral panic. That's what we're in right now. We hear dire warnings that technology will destroy this or that, or it'll change the world in this way or that way. I mentioned this before on a previous podcast, but when the bicycle was first invented, newspapers predicted everything from neurological diseases to distortions in the face, so-called bicycle face, to psychological damage. Columnists warned about young women being addicted to bike riding. When telephones were first invented, citizens were concerned that the phones would explode. People fought against telephone poles for the fear that they would cause physical harm to their bodies. So that's moral panic. But the thing is, we need to recognize that sometimes panics are justified. The concerns about nuclear weapons proved to be valid during the Cuban Missile Crisis. The concerns about the environmental impact of industrial technology has proved valid as well. Climate change is a very real crisis. On the other hand, the moral panic around things like comic books or video games both proved to be largely unfounded based on research. At this point, we don't know where AI is in all of that. Is the moral panic justified? We don't know. But what we do know is that our students will need to navigate that reality. If AI proves to be largely helpful, well, then our students will need to know how to use AI in order to improve the world. They'll need to use AI in ways that improve their creative output, that help them problem solve, that they can use within, you know, the communication that they do, within the learning that they do. And they'll need to do all of these things in a way that is ethical and responsible. Before, I've talked about on this podcast how AI might be used in essay writing, how it might be used in project-based learning. You can listen to those previous episodes. But the goal is to teach students how to use AI wisely. We need to make sure our approach is human-driven rather than technology-driven. If AI, on the other hand, turns out to be largely harmful, well, then our students need to fight against the negative effects of AI. They will need to work toward dismantling systems that place the machine at the front and center. And this is why it's so important that right now, at this stage of artificial intelligence, we encourage students to ask hard, critical questions. Things like, where am I using AI without even thinking about it? How does AI actually work? How might people try to use AI to inflict harm? What does AI do well? What does it do poorly? What are things I want AI to do, but what is the cost of using it? What are some of the things I don't want AI to do, and what is the cost to avoiding it? How am I combining AI with my own creative thoughts, ideas, and approaches? And is that largely a good thing or a bad thing? What is the danger in treating robots like humans? What are the potential ethical implications of AI, and how can we ensure that this artificial intelligence is aligned with our shared human values? What guardrails do we need to set up for AI? So all of these questions are the types that we need to be asking students right now in the early stages of AI. We need to invite students into the conversation about what it means to think ethically about the role of AI in our world and in our schools. And on this topic, I just want to tell you there's an upcoming episode that I'm really excited about with Nick Farrell, and he's going to talk about how he encouraged his students to engage in a dialogue about ChatGPT and how together they crafted a statement and a policy about when and how they might use ChatGPT at their school. I'm really excited about it because the focus was on how do we use it wisely and ethically. And that leads to truth number three. Truth number three, our students will need to navigate a changing world. In a world of AI, our students will need to become really good at what AI can't do and really different with what AI can do. Students will need to excel in the human skills of empathy and communication, adaptability, collaboration, divergent thinking, and all of those are the things that happen when we empower them with voice and choice in PBL. But it also means that students will need to be different at the things that AI can do. Students will need to find their own creative voice. You can think about it this way. A drum machine is great, and I love a lot of music that has a drum machine. But the slight imperfections and quirky idiosyncrasies are why I love listening to a Keith Moon riff on old records from The Who. When we write, our humor and humanity in all of its imperfections make it worth sharing. I can take some of Grammarly's AI-generated suggestions to clean up my writing, but that's not me. I'm messy. I'm a tad bit loquacious, I know it. And sometimes I'm pretentious, at least pretentious enough to use the word loquacious. I'm overly conversational and way too informal. I use too many colloquial phrases, but that's me. AI can make great digital art, but it can't make your art. I love to draw. Artificial intelligence can create far better drawings than what I share on my blog posts and keynotes and sketch videos. But when you watch my sketch videos or you see a slide on my keynote, or you look at an image on my Instagram, you see me. You see my style. It's different from the AI. And this isn't just for the arts either. It's true of the STEM fields. While we culturally, collectively tend to think of math as being cold and calculated, talk to any mathematician and they'll tell you that there is something beautiful and even poetic about the way some people solve problems. This is why voice and choice are so important. Our students need to develop originality in a world of machine learning. We don't know what types of jobs our students will eventually do, but we do know that they will need to think differently. And that's why ultimately students need a roadmap, not a blueprint. The hardest part of the AI revolution is the sheer unpredictability of it. I want a clear picture of the future. I wish someone could give me a bullet point list of where we're headed and what it's going to look like. Let me know exactly what AI will look like in the next decade, and I can design the perfect plan for how I will respond. Give me an instruction manual or a blueprint. But that's not how it works. We can't predict how machine learning will change the way we think and the way we learn and the way that we do school. There are no blueprints or instruction manuals. We don't even have a playbook. After all, the rules seem to change as we go. But what we can offer our students is a roadmap. Or if you prefer, you can think of it more as a trail map. We can explore the newly emerging terrain of machine learning in education. We can walk alongside students in this journey asking, what does all of this mean? We can be the guides on the side. Our students will need to navigate the maze of an uncertain future. And part of this navigation will involve thinking critically about the pros and cons of when to use AI. Some of it will involve thinking critically about AI itself and how it's changing our world, including how we engage in creativity and what it looks like for things like information literacy. Some of it might involve navigating the changing terrain of the actual school subjects that we teach. In other words, what does math or language arts or health or PE or any of those things look like in a world of smart machines? Much of this navigation will involve developing critical human skills that machines can't do. It will involve finding unusual routes through this complex maze. But it will also involve empowering our students with a sense of ownership over their journey and trusting that they will find a way. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you tell a friend about it? And would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or Amazon or wherever it is that you are listening to this podcast? That would mean the world to me. Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.